Well, I want to preach today to a certain group of people. In kind of the heart and mind of the crisis that we're in as a state, me and Kendall were talking a couple of weeks ago about just the severity of what's going on and the crisis that people are experiencing with these floods and losing everything, the devastation that's happening. And I felt like really Kendall's the one, you know, sometimes it's the Holy Spirit, sometimes it's Kendall. It just depends on what it might be. But to share today on the idea of what do you do after a crisis? How do you make it through a crisis? Not only in what we're facing in our state with maybe some of you who are connected, you have family, you have friends that have been affected, or maybe just in your personal life. And so today I want to speak to the brokenhearted, those who are walking through devastation, whether this is on a global level or whether this is in a personal level. And this message is going to be for anyone who is staring at the rubble of a home. You may be watching online, staring at the rubble of a home. Maybe it's a future, maybe a dream, a relationship. And I want you to know this today. There is hope. There is hope. And there is healing that can happen. And there are biblical anchors that will hold you when the ground beneath you is giving way. And so I want to read out of today, 2 Corinthians. Turn with me in your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Powerful passage of scripture where Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, and he is sending them a letter. He wants to come to them, but there's been some things that have kind of deterred him from being able to come at the time that he wanted to come. And he begins to kind of elaborate in the persecution, the things that he's facing, the devastation that he's having to go through. And in the mind of all of that, he gets to the part where we get down to verse 8, and I gave them verse 9 and 10, but I'm going to read one verse before that today, verse 8. And it says this: For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him, somebody say, on him, we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Somebody say again. So I want to preach to you today out of this passage and from the title, When the Ground Shakes. When the Ground Shakes. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, today that through your word and by your spirit, God, that you would touch the hearts of people today. Those that are facing devastation in their life, those who are looking at something that seems like it's dead and gone, that it's been wiped away, that they're walking through a crisis and they're staring at the aftermath. I pray, Lord, today that we would see your presence in all of this, that we would see you in all of this, to know that you are close to the brokenhearted and you save those who are crushed in spirit. So those who feel, Lord, that their heart is broken today, we know that by your word, a promise is that you are the closest to those right now. So God, we pray that you would speak to us today. Help us to walk through this. Help us to get, not just get through this, but grow through this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said a big amen. Amen. Give someone a hug before you take a seat. A big old squeeze. Back in the day, they said give them a holy kiss, but I won't tell you to do that right now. Have you ever felt like the ground beneath you gave out in your life, in a situation, a crisis you've maybe walked through, maybe you're walking through right now? It feels like the ground beneath you has completely gave out and you are free falling in some sort, whether metaphorically, mentally, in your heart, in fear or in pain and confusion. Maybe it was the phone call that you never thought you'd get. Maybe it was the moment that somebody walked out on you. The job that all of a sudden just disappeared. The relationship that just fell apart. The report that you didn't expect to receive. Life often, it hits hard. And it doesn't ask permission. It sometimes you feel like you've been just sideswiped. And you're like, what is going on? You're doing your best to hold it all together, but underneath the surface, everything feels like it's falling apart in your life. Am I speaking to anybody today? Here's something I want you to know. God is not surprised by the storm that you're in. I know it may feel like He's not there, but He is not surprised by the storm that you're in. And He doesn't give you a way around the shaking. We want God to alleviate the pain, alleviate the heartache, alleviate the brokenness, and give us kind of like a way around. But God doesn't give you a way around the shaking. He gives you actually something to hold on in the middle of it. Because when everything around you shifts, His presence is what always stays steady. No matter what may happen in your life, when the world begins to break apart, your world, everything that you've built together and you thought you was going to be close, when all that is falling apart, can I tell you today that His Word is what will build you up? When the world falls apart, His Word builds you up. And when it feels like you're falling, maybe even failing, know that His grace catches you. Always. So what do you do when the bottom drops out? Where do you turn when the storm seems like it's just never ending and it's not going to stop? How do you stand when you've got nothing left to lean on? These are the questions that I want you to frame your mind around in this sermon today, because here's something that I've learned in all of this. If you fake it, you'll never feel it. If you're not a note taker today, be a note taker. I want you to write these down. If you fake it, you'll never feel it. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." That sounds kind of like the opposite. But yet the words of Jesus are so clear. And I want to tell you that you don't have to put a smile on your face to prove your faith. God isn't looking for an actor. He's looking for those who will live honestly and come before Him with honesty. You know, some of us should win an Oscar for how good of actors that we are. We've got some good acting skills going on, especially even in the church. But can I tell you that the Oscar is won by someone pretending to be someone they're not. The award that is given is not based on someone's true self. It is based on someone pretending to be somebody else that they're completely not. And you don't win it by being your true self. You win it by being an actor, shooting for something or someone that you really are not. When God is not looking for you to win an Oscar, He's looking for you just to be honest. And we've got to understand that healing starts where pretending stops. The healing that you're needing from the crisis and the devastation and the heartbreak and the brokenness that you're in, the healing that you're praying for will not happen if you pretend to be someone you're not. When we live a life pretending that everything's okay and I'm okay, and we come into church and it's like I'm blessed and highly favored, when truthfully I'm broken, I'm really freaked out. When we learn to actually come honestly before God, we will realize that God can never bless who we pretend to be. He can't bless someone that you're trying to win an Oscar with. He can only bless those who are being their true self. We see that all through Scripture. that we've got to realize that our purpose will begin when our pretending stops. Some of us, we're trying to step into the call of God that he has on our life, but we can't step into it because we're pretending to be somebody we're not. We're trying to win an Oscar when God just wants us to be honest. And to know the fact that God isn't intimidated by our tears or our fears. He actually welcomes them. You know, a lot of times we think when we come to God, we can't come to him how we really feel. But can I tell you that God knows what you're thinking before you ever say it? So you're not hiding anything from him. You're only hiding it from yourself. Therefore, pretending to be someone that you're not. To know that our sorrow is safe in our Savior's hands. In Psalm 62:8, it says, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Somebody say that. He is my refuge. He is the place that you can run to. He is the person that you can abide in. He is the anchor for the soul. But you see, many times we fail to do this, and in doing so, we end up leading and living a life where we end up isolating ourselves and start to bottle everything up because we think we're big enough to handle it all on our own. But isolation will lead you to desolation. It will leave you looking at your life and seeing a desolate land where there's like, can anything be alive here? Looking at something that is torn down, looking at something like some of these people that are looking in Kerrville right now, looking at their homes or their businesses or their families, and it's just desolate. And when we isolate our lives and we try to deal with it on our own, we will never find success in trying to run solo. If you want to grow through this, if you want to get through this, whatever that this is, you cannot do it alone. You cannot do it solo. You will find in Scripture, God never speaks to someone individually. He always talks to them as a group. He always talks to them as a body. He always talks to them in legacy minded. The God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, Jacob. He goes through all these names every time he speaks. He never speaks to someone just by themselves. You know, it's not any surprise. I talk about our chickens quite a bit. We have chickens. And they've got to be some of the dumbest animals on the planet. But they give us eggs, so they're great. But I noticed, and we had this happen even this past week. You know, when our chickens, when they get out alone, we have a coop and a run that they typically stay in, and from time to time we let them out, but we don't do it a whole lot because what ends up happening is our chickens get a little dumb and they try to run on their own. And even this week alone, there was one, Chanel, RIP, she she went out on her own and got solo, and that's when the enemy comes in to attack. And that's what happened. But I found that when they stay in their group, when they stay in their tribe, in their flock, when they kind of have their little team together, they look out for one another. They watch out. They're seeing what's going on around them. And if something were to try to approach, they let everybody know and they run. They're working together as a team. But when they're solo, they can't see anything but what they're looking down at. And there is no other extra eyes. The Bible clearly tells us that a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. What does that mean? When we get together in a team, when we get together in a group, when we find our people in our church, this is why you need to join a team at Skybreak. Because you need people in your life that you can find that when you're walking through hell and your head is down, they're looking around, looking for the enemy that's lurking around trying to come and take you out. Some of you wonder, I don't know how people can walk through life and not have a church family. I don't know how they do it. The truth is they don't. They'll fake it, but they really don't. You know who they run to? Facebook. You know who they run to? A pill bottle. You know where they run? A drink. Sex. When you're not running to the right thing, you will find yourself depleted and desolate all along the way. Tragedy will isolate you, but God's design for healing happens in community. This is why the scripture tells us that when we confess our sins to God, we do that for forgiveness. But he says, confess your sins to one another for healing. Interesting. I thought that God gives me healing. He does. But when I am dealing with something and I talk about it with my fellow brother and sister in Christ, I begin to find healing in community. Because isolation is the enemy's playground. And he's waiting and he's lurking and he is creeping at the door and he's waiting for anything he can. And a lot of times we suffer in silence because we're not walking and being and building life with the people that God has placed around us to help us carry what is crushing us. This is why it tells us in Galatians chapter 6, carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Healing requires humility. Always. Again, going back to you, when you get together with people, it's easy to fake that your life is all okay, but you will not find the healing without humility. What is humility? Humility means that I am willing to be open enough to realize that I don't got it all together. Tell your neighbor for a second. Why don't you look at them in the eye? We hadn't done this in a while. Get to know their eye color. Just look at them real good. You get an opportunity now in a holy place to tell them off in a holy language. Are you ready? Tell them, you ain't got it all together. You got to have it in the staccato. Tell them. Just tell them. You ain't got it all together. You're not as good as you think you are. Some of y'all just finding healing, telling people off in church. This is why you come to this church. Because again, we all struggle, all of us. Everyone in this room, I don't care how well your life is, we all struggle, we all cope. All of us, we all run to something to find relief. All of us. Well, I don't have an addiction to pills. No, but you have an addiction to filling your schedule. You see, an addiction, I'm working on a sermon right now that's called We're All Addicts. Because the truth is, we all are. We all have something that we use to cope. We all have something that we use because we struggle. And all we want to do is push the relief valve. And it may not be a pharmaceutical pill bottle, but it may be something else. It may be filling something, your schedule, your time. You may be living your life through your kids. Oh, we're all addicts. We don't like that, but the truth is we all have something we run to. And where you run and who you run to especially really matters. It matters. Because if you run to the wrong people, all they're going to do is fuel your flame and make you more bitter. That they're not going to help you get better. It's not going to happen. A lot of times we like to run to people that just make us feel good and wallow in our sorrow with us. And where do we go? Facebook. Facebook could make a lot of money if it just made it a counselor. But we run to people oftentimes that just agree with us rather than disagree with us. Because it feels better and makes me feel good. And, you know, I know every now and then you kind of want to just, you know, rub shoulders with people that get mad with you. I'm okay with that. But there has to come a point where if you want to get better in this situation, if you want to grow through this situation, you got to stop being bitter in order to get better. It's the only way. And you will never move forward in your life if you won't forgive. It's not going to happen. I'm walking through this even in my own life. This is things that I'm, because there's just some people I don't want to forgive. Oh, you're a pastor. Yeah, but I don't want to forgive everybody. Come on, don't be all holier than thou. Don't leave me up here by myself. You got it too. There's just people you're mad at. God, I don't want to forgive them. They betrayed me. They walked out on me. They hurt me. They hurt my family. They hurt me when I was a child. I don't want to forgive. I don't want to let it go. I don't want to move past this. I want to be mad, and I want people to be mad with me. Can we be real today? Can we be honest? I'm not trying to pretend. You know, when people come over to your house and you throw the bath towels in the tub because you don't want them to see you ain't picked nothing up yet. Just throw everything in the closet. Somebody's here. We all do it. People walk in, our house ain't ever been cleaner in our life. You know, the greatest way to clean your house is just invite someone over. That's, I'm telling you right now, someone's coming over. 20 minutes, we got 20 minutes! You know, your husband calls you while they're out, they're in Lowe's, they're like, oh, I ran into Jeff and his wife Susie and they're gonna come over for dinner. She's like, are you kidding me right now? Do you know what I look like? Do you know what this house looks like? We ain't got no groceries, we ain't got no cleaner, how we ain't even got toilet paper! And it's like, all right, babe, we'll see you soon. This is real. Is this helping anybody today? How do you get through crisis? What do you do when the ground is shaking beneath you? You don't pretend, you just get honest. You don't isolate, you find your team. If you want to move forward, you got to forgive. I'm not saying forgiving them makes it that what they did was right. It just takes the enemy's foothold off of your foot. It's the truth. You know, I'm learning this now. I've come to a point where there are people who have betrayed me and hurt me in my life, and I've held on to it for a while, and I was like, God, I'm tired. I'm tired of them having a say over my life, and they ain't even in my life anymore. They have found their way to creep in, and they don't even know it. And I'm allowing the enemy to just come in and hold on. Are you kidding me? And I've known this. I've preached this. I've been preached at this. But there are just some times when it's hard to forgive. It's hard to let go. It's hard to stop being bitter. I like me some lemonade, and I like when it's bitter. But I got to learn to let it go. Because I need it. And I had to learn that God won't forgive me if I don't forgive them. That's what His word says. And am I holding on to unforgiveness and not finding the healing I need? And I'm not able to move forward, because here's the thing I've learned in my life, and that is bitterness will break you, but gratitude will build you. Bitterness will lie to you. It will block your peace and it will poison your soul. But yet gratitude becomes your weapon in the war for joy. When you learn to have gratitude, it changes everything in your life. Bitterness, all it does is keep you stuck in what happened. Just, you find yourself living in a cycle. If you find yourself, you're just like, if you've ever been mudding before, or you've driven out off in some land and you see some ruts and you try to go through it and you find yourself coming in it. Why? It's because people just keep running through that over and over and over. And we do that in our life. We're trying to get where God's trying to take us, and boom, we just keep falling in a rut and we keep getting stuck and we try to start over and we can't move forward. But the only way you're going to move forward is by a heart of gratitude. Why? Because gratitude lifts your eyes to what's possible. It looks up to where your help comes from. 1 Thessalonians, it says, be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you. You want to be in the will of God? Be thankful. Be thankful. When we're thankful, we put ourselves in the proper posture. And when we do that, we will find our purpose in life. We will find our healing that we need. But it all comes down to posture. The posture of our heart. I'm not saying it all looks good, but when you learn to get it in your mouth, learning to be thankful and learning to be grateful, to say, God, I'm thankful for this moment. I'm thankful that I'm going through this, because you're setting me up for something I don't even see yet. You're setting my life up for something I don't even understand. And I know that you have good plans for me. It may not feel good to me right now. It may not look glorious in this season, but as I look forward and I put gratitude in my heart and I put gratitude in my mouth, I take my eyes off of the bitterness and I look at the gratefulness of all that you can do. And so, God, it is for my benefit that I'm walking through this. Gratitude. you'll never find when you're bitter. You'll never find it. And when you get to that place where gratitude is in your heart and in your mouth, bitterness cannot stay there. Gratitude and bitterness cannot coexist in the same place. It won't happen because you change your heart posture to realize I'm going to be thankful in every circumstance. Why? Because that's the will of God for my life. I'm not saying it's good, but God, you said you can turn anything that the devil meant for evil and you can turn it for my good. You didn't cause this to happen. I may have caused it, but the enemy is trying to take me out. And if I will just take bitterness and put gratitude, I will turn the other way and I will find hope and I will find healing and I will anchor my soul in your word and I will find the blessing that you have. I will find the miracle that you're trying to do. And I know the plans don't look good to you, but they're not your plans. They're his. And the final thing I want to share today is, even though everything may be crumbling, know this: when it all falls apart, remember what can't be taken. What can't be taken. We look at what we've lost. God says, look what you'll never lose. Because here's the thing, stuff will fade. Some of us, we're trying to hook up a U-Haul on the way to our gravesite. It ain't going to happen. Stuff's going to fade. Statuses are going to change. It's going to happen. But your faith, your family, and eternity will stand still even when you're staring at rubble. It will never fade. It will never weary. It will never go away. And I've learned in my life that crisis clarifies what really counts. What do I mean? When you walk through a crisis and you face a season of devastation where you feel like everything's falling apart, you learn to lean on what really matters. Things begin to be purged out of your life. Like, well, that didn't really matter. That was good. And I begin to focus on what really matters, what really counts in my life. COVID did this for many of us. We realized all the noise that we were living with, all the speediness and the hurry of life and just all trying to achieve and everything. God just said, I don't know, I'm not saying it was God, but everything just shut down. And it was like, what mattered most? My faith, my family, and eternity. That's all that mattered. I didn't care about nobody else. I didn't care about anything else. I just wanted to make sure my faith was intact, that I was holding on to the hand of God, walking to in a dark room. It's like, you know, those old homes when you walk in and you got the string that's in the middle of the room, but you walk in and you can't see it, so you're just feeling around and you're just hoping. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We had an old ranch house and we walk in and you're like, I know it's here somewhere. God, I know you're here in this room somewhere, and I'm going to keep reaching and I'm going to keep pulling, and eventually I'm going to find it. And oh, there you are. Pa-pump. Life comes on. God is always there. He will always show up. Faith can't be taken. Luke 12:15 says, life is not measured by how much one owns. And yet some of us are measuring our life by our bank account, by the size of our home, and by the cars that we drive or the shoes that we wear, by how many friends we have or fake ones called followers. And we're so worried about those things. That doesn't measure your life. That doesn't mount up to anything. And the secret to surviving the shaking, the ground shaking, isn't strength. It's actually surrender. It's surrender. Because Jesus doesn't just steady the ground, he becomes the very ground that you're standing on. Jesus doesn't just calm the storm, he becomes the peace within the storm. I referenced this last week in one of the services, the story of Jesus in the boat with the disciples, and the storm came and he walked them into this, by the way. He was like, let's get in the boat, let's go. And he falls asleep in the hull of the boat and the storm is raging and they're freaking out. And Jesus is like, do you know who's with you? Have you done forgotten? And he does calm the storm, peace be still, and it settles down. And he's like, ye of little faith. Jesus will be your peace within the storm. Paul tells us in Philippians, he says, what I once thought valuable, I now consider worthless compared to Christ. The things of this world that seem so valuable are worthless when it comes to Jesus. They're worthless. They amount up to nothing. And there are storms that you're not going to survive in your strength, but that's where grace steps in. That's where grace will begin to catch you. And that's where Jesus becomes the anchor in the unknown. What do I do when the bottom falls out? What do I do when I'm staring at the aftermath of a devastation? You do what David said in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in a time of trouble. Where do you run to? Who do you run to? Here's the thing today. If your life has been shaken, if you feel like you're barely holding on, I want you to know this very sincerely today. You were not forgotten. I know nobody sees what you're walking through. You may not be telling anybody, and you're suffering in silence, but I want you to know God sees you, and you are not forgotten, and you are not alone, because the truth is there's somebody down your row who's facing the same junk you're facing, or they faced it at one point. You want to see a miracle right now? Turn to your left and turn to your right, because by the grace of God, that person is still sitting next to you right now through all that they've been through all the junk they've walked through, and miracle after miracle, breath after breath, step after step. You want to see a living miracle? They're the person sitting right next to you. You are not alone. You are not forgotten. Jesus stepped into the greatest crisis humanity has ever faced. What is that, Pastor? That was our separation from God. Because of sin, we were separated from Him. And Jesus stepped up in the middle of the crisis and said, I'm going to take this hand of God, and I'm going to take this hand of humanity, and I'm going to reunite them back together. And by my blood and by the purpose on my life, I'm going to bring salvation and grace. And He took sin upon Himself. So that way now in your crisis, you can cling to a hope that cannot collapse. It will never fail you. It will never crumble, no matter what devastation comes your way. That will never deteriorate. So here's what I want to do. I want to pray for some of you today. If your ground is shaking beneath you, if you're looking and facing a devastation of some kind in your life, whether you've got family that is physically suffering from the flood and it's related to that, whether you are, whether you've got a broken relationship, whether you've got devastation where you said you wouldn't do it again and you swore you wouldn't do it again and you vowed to God you would never do it again, but yet you're finding yourself right back where you were doing it again. You told yourself, you vowed to yourself that you would never get back on that site, that you would never walk away, that you would never do that, and yet you're standing here today and you're like, I found myself back in the same place. I'm going to tell you, friend, it's because of isolation. And you need to find your team. You need to find your people. And they're right here in this room. So if your ground is shaking today and you say, I need God to anchor my soul, I want you to stand in this room. If you're staring at a devastation of a relationship and you're like, I need God to piece back together what seems so broken, I want you to stand. By an act of faith today, and I believe you're going to find healing in the thing that you're hoping for. That right now, with your humility to say, I'm facing this stuff, I'm tired of pretending, I'm tired of trying to shoot for an Oscar. If I keep faking it, I'm never going to feel it. I commend you. I commend you all for standing. Because it's not easy to stand in a room. The truth is, you're being honest, and probably many others aren't. Father, I thank you for every person under the sound of my voice. Lord, you see those who are hurting and who are broken, who are walking through a crisis. They're walking through some form of devastation. They're looking at the rubble of a dream. They're looking at the rubble of a future, of a relationship, of a home, of a business. God, I just pray for your supernatural power. I pray for healing in the crisis. I pray, Lord, that we would cling to the hope we have in you, to know that you are our peace in the midst of the storm. And God, wherever there is unforgiveness, wherever there is bitterness, wherever there is a place that seems to be kind of like etched in our heart that won't go away, God, I pray right now by the power of your word and by the name of Jesus that you would remove every hurt, that you would remove the bitterness, God, that you would give us the position to be able to forgive where it seems like something is unforgivable. God, we don't want to stay stuck here. We don't want to keep living in this rut. We don't want to keep going through this cycle and walking right back into the storm. Today we are saying by faith, enough is enough. The ground may be shaking, but I'm holding on to your hand and I will never let go, because what I'm holding on to will never deteriorate. It will never collapse. It will never crumble. It will never cease to exist. So God, I hold on to your hand. God, where I have isolated myself and tried to live this thing going solo, I pray, Lord, today that you would put people in their life right now that would call out the sin in their life, that would call forward your purpose in their life. God, that you would put people in their life that love them beyond anything they could ever imagine, to help them not stay where they are. I pray, Lord, for the men in the room that are struggling. I pray, Lord, that there would be other godly, strong men that will not be impressed with their fake, that they will look straight through that and say, it is time to get in order. It is time to get your act together. I'm sick and tired of watching you run over your wife and run over your kids. Today is the day that stops in the name of Jesus. You are going to lead like God has called you to lead, and you will find fulfillment in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for every wife that may be grumbling today over the things that they don't have. Every single person that is complaining about the person that hadn't showed up in their life yet. I pray, Lord, that they would find fulfillment in you. That they would petition their prayers in an act of gratitude. Not saying that what's happening is good, but knowing that you can turn evil for good. So God, heal the brokenhearted today. Heal the numb today. Heal the addicts today. Chains falling off in the name of Jesus. That broken heart, you're piecing it back together right now. I prophesy over that relationship today that it is coming back together in the name of Jesus. God, let there be humility for healing. Let there be a humble heart. Let there be an honest heart. God, let there be forgiveness. Still closed across this room. Maybe you're in this place today or watching from the other side of a screen, and maybe you don't know Jesus yet. Maybe you're living your life and you've isolated yourself, or you're trying to figure it out, but you've come here today. Maybe as a last-ditch effort, maybe just to say, I know what's right, but I'm trying to do this the best I can, and you're trying it on your own, but you got to stop trying and just start surrendering. Your trying will never be enough. You can't save yourself. The only one who can is Jesus. And maybe you've anchored your soul to the world, and God is calling you today to detach that anchor from the world and to anchor it into His Word. To anchor your soul in Christ, not in culture. Because Jesus came that you may have life more abundantly. And the life that you have right now is not the life maybe that God has called you to live. He's got so much more in store for you. And if you don't know Jesus today, if you've never confessed Him as Lord and Savior, if you've never believed on Him to say, God, You are my Lord, You are my Savior. Because the truth is, He is Lord and Savior, whether you agree with it or not. But maybe you've never placed Him in your life as the authority, as your Savior. You see, you'll never realize your need for a Savior until you admit that you're a sinner. We all are. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We may come out like angels, but we learn sin from a young age. It's in our nature. Jesus came to free us from that. His blood was shed to forgive us from those things. And if you don't know Jesus today, here's what I want you to do. We're going to pray a prayer. We're going to pray it out loud. I want all of us to pray in this room together in support of those who may be praying it for the very first time. Maybe you are even needing to rededicate your life today and say, Jesus, I'm coming back to You. I've walked away. I've been hurt. I've been broken. I thought I could figure it out on my own, and I realized that You are the anchor for my soul, and I'm coming back to You. He sees you today, and He comes and runs to you with open arms. If that's you today, let's pray this prayer together out loud. Say, Dear Jesus, come into my life. Today, I ask that You would forgive me of all my sin. Wash me clean. Make me new. Today, I make You Lord and leader of my life. I'm never going to be the same. I'm going to be changed by Your grace. Today, in Jesus' name. And everyone said a big amen. Come on, can we celebrate with every person? Here's what I want to do. If you prayed that prayer today, believed in your heart, whether for the first time or you rededicated your life, you need a Bible in your hand. You need some next steps, and we want to help you with that. And here's what we want to do. As a church family, we want to celebrate with you, but we need to know who that is. And I have our team. They're already moving around the room. They're ready to give you this gift. I have a gift I want to give you to help you. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time to believe in Jesus, or you rededicated your life, I want you on the count of three to shoot your hand up and say, Pastor, that was me. And we're going to bring you that gift. We're going to bring you that Bible. Ready? 1, 2, 3. If that was you today, come on, lift your hand. Come on, church. Let's celebrate with every person today. Come on. Make some crazy noise. This is new life. This is salvation in Jesus. Hope is found today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You receive the word today? Amen, amen, amen. Why don't you stand to your feet? I want to encourage you in a couple things. One, don't come to church next week alone. Bring someone with you, because there is someone in your life that needs to experience the same hope and the same life and the same salvation in Jesus. Bring someone with you. Hey, if you didn't raise your hand, make sure you stop by the info hub. I have that gift for you. I want to make sure you get it. I don't want you to leave here without getting those next steps. You're not meant to do life alone. Join a team, find your people, and get connected to the body of Christ. Amen, everybody. God bless you, church. We love you so much. We will see you next Sunday.